This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort. Welcome in. It's episode 30 of the Inferno Podcast. I'm Landrum Roberts. I'm your host. Exciting show today. Before we get into the rundown, always tell you it is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Well, happy spring. Spring football, spring practice beginning March 26th, getting you up to date on all the things that have happened since the close of last season into the new year with staff acquisitions, personnel acquisitions. Coach Trent Dilfer, as a part of our Coach's Corner, will be joining us, and a guy he's going to be depending on the defensive side of the ball, a side of the ball that's been overhauled with coaches and players. Sherrod Bryant, the lone returning starter, he will join us as a part of our Student Athlete of the Week segment as well. And we'll take a look at other sports across the campus. What's going on? A very busy spring. Always. All of that and so much more. It's episode 30. It's the Inferno Podcast. We continue.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the Green and Gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube. But also Instagram, you can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB on Facebook. That's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics. You can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links. We've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week. Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. It's time for the Coach's Corner, and it's brought to us by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach Trent Dilfer, UAB head football coach, joining us. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Happy March.
Yeah.
Spring has sprung.
Just celebrated my 53rd, or as my middle daughter says, my 29th for the 24th straight year.
Uncanny that you and UAB basketball coach Andy Kennedy share the same birthday, which is March 13th.
And I beat him, by the way. I wished him happy birthday first this year. He got me last year.
Well, prior to that, though, March 12th, voice of the Blazers, David Crane, that was his birthday.
I know.
So a little bit weird.
Very weird. It's amazing that two guys as good looking as AK and I could have the same birthday.
It is. Yeah. Who's got more hair?
I think he does. We've had this conversation. If we were to grow it out, I would look like Krusty the Clown. Mine grows really well right here and would be curly. I think he said he has some flow up top if he had to have it.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, because at the time that this is released, it is March Madness. It's tournament time. How's your bracket doing? I'm kidding. Don't answer that.
No, there are no brackets.
In fact, I would have thought way back when, and you look at what's going on now, that somebody lost their job for an office pool.
It's my Wednesday meeting with the team. Like, we have to make sure everybody understands in the building. We do not do brackets. You don't do them for fun. You know, it's crazy. It's the number one thing that scares the death out of all college coaches right now. Well, two things: giving kids a bunch of money, and they don't know what to do with it. And two is the gambling thing. Like, because there's so much ambiguous gambling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you do an office bracket.
Right.
Nobody thinks that's gambling, no. But it is. In the NCAA's eyes, it is.
And oh, it's not only that.
My wife texted me this morning, honey, can I do a bracket as your wife? I said, I don't know. I'll call compliance. Like, literally, that's my answer. I got to call compliance.
I do an event, and it's it's a, an event that the NCAA puts on, and I've gotten to be friends with them over the years, and we do it annually. And they told me a long time ago that no, there is an edict even there in the office. It's not even a make believe. We don't even, they said we don't even put pen to paper and fill out a bracket, even if we have no plans on turning it in. We just don't do that.
We're the same way. We're the same way. My son-in-law, all the son-in-laws have one, and I get invited to it. I'm like, guys, I can't. Like, I can't even open the website.
Did you used to enjoy filling out a bracket?
When I was a kid, yes. I didn't really do it as an NFL player. I loved college basketball as a kid. It was by far my favorite thing. I thought I was going to be – I was more highly recruited as a basketball player than I was a football player. And that was my dream, was to play at Oklahoma, believe it or not, because Wayman Tisdale. UCLA or Oklahoma were my two dream schools to play basketball.
Man, Oklahoma back in the day, Billy Tubbs is the coach. Yep. Remember some of those teams? Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Stacey King?
I probably played Wayman Tisdale one-on-one 500 times as a kid. Now, he wasn't really there, but I pretended he was there. And that's where I learned all my post moves and my fadeaway and crossover and all that stuff.
If you didn't play football, would you have tried to play basketball?
Yeah. Right before Fresno recruited me, I was going to sign with Santa Clara or Northern Arizona to play both. So Santa Clara, the year they dropped football, I mean, I was being recruited the year before they dropped football. So I was going to play both at Santa Clara or I was going to play both at Northern Arizona. My stepdad wanted me to play tight end or linebacker at Cal because they recruited me to play tight end or linebacker, and UCLA came in late for me to play tight end.
You're smarty, so you could have gotten into Cal and played.
Yeah, I was a really good student. I was my parents, it's the same thing I taught my girls. We never talked about grades. My parents never told me what grades I had to get, but they just told me I had to do my best. And usually if I did my best, I got an A. So chemistry I didn't. And geometry. Those are the two classes that I think I got a C in chemistry and a B in geometry and everything else. I got A's. And
I did well in the other subjects, opposite math, chemistry, that stuff. History, no problem. Could read through it, recite it, English, anything like that. Reading comprehension.
Yeah, I killed that stuff.
But we're getting into exponents and numbers and all these lines and parentheses. It wasn't practical to me.
I had a really exceptional memory. So I could, my mom used to get mad at me, but I could wake up the day of a test, never study, ever study. Wake up the day of a test, cram for 30 minutes and go get a 96. Like I just memorized things on the car ride on the way to school. I can still, as I'm getting older, I'm losing it a little more, but I do it with football too. Like I call the plays off a call sheet, but I've pretty much memorized where they're at. You know what I mean? I don't get stuck very often. If I'm looking for a short yardage play, I know it's in the back right. I know it's in green.
So you can see it visually.
I can see it visually, especially if I write. And this is something I learned years ago, and I don't know if there's still studies out on it, but at the time there was a study that said if you wrote in red ink, that you had exponentially better retention. So I started writing everything in red ink. In fact, it's a joke around the office that I usually get mad at people if they're not writing in red ink, but I have 1,000 red pens in my office. And if I write in red, like my main notebook that I work off daily when things come up, I can tell you it's page 62, 9 lines down in my chicken scratch handwriting. It says, you know, Cole Peterson interview with the Eagles. You know, which I'm teeing you up for the next question.
Yeah, but thank you very much.
But, you know, that's just how my mind works. It's not as good anymore. It's not even close as good anymore.
But if you studied material enough, because it was this way for me, I could visualize the notes. I could visualize my handwriting and maybe how even I formed a letter.
That's exactly how I think of it. It's a picture in my head. So I would sit there in the car ride into school for a test. And I'd have it, it's dangerous, but I'd be driving and I'd have my notes right here and I'd be looking at them. And then I'd park my car and as I'm walking up, I'd write out the answers, walk into first period, get the 96, forget everything when I left the class. So SAT, I didn't do very well. SAT, my parents I was going to get like a 1300, 1400, you know, that's where I was trending. That's where all my teachers thought I was going to get. I got like an 1150 or something and also didn't care, but, Yeah, no, I've just always been able to memorize things.
Well, that's an indictment on standardized testing.
Yes, some of those questions. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that doesn't dictate if you're going to be successful in life, right?
No. Gosh, no.
You mentioned it, and you did tee me up nicely, but a very young, talented member of your staff, Cole Peterson, who was director of football operations last year, and he's the guy with all the energy on the sideline, and Cole was great, but some exciting news for Cole, but I know it's bittersweet for you.
Bittersweet. For sure, and that's how I announced it to the staff and the team was Cole has had an incredible opportunity. He'll be Nick Sirianni's assistant to the head coach for the Eagles. Pretty cool how it happened with Cole. Cole's turned down some really cool college jobs in his tenure here because he was very loyal to us and enjoyed his opportunity here with UAB. And he got an interview with the Lions this offseason. And it was the process, we kind of counseled him, wasn't the right job for him. It looked kind of sexy and cool, but it wasn't the right fit for him. Well, in the process of interviewing the Lions, they realized that the job they're interviewing him for was not the right job for him. He's overqualified for it. And they called the Eagles and said, hey, we know, Nick, your guy's moving. His right-hand man had got promoted. And they called the Eagles, and the Eagles obviously – you know, to get that job, to be the assistant to the head coach in the NFL is a big job.
What does that entail?
It's super kinda hard. Pretty much what Cole did for me here.
Okay.
But a lot of logistics, a lot of daily scheduling, a lot of making sure that if you're locked in your office dealing with a team-wide thing, that your message still gets directed to the entire building. Doing a lot of presentations. You know, head coaches do a lot of presentations, whether for staff, players, the public, speaking events, whatnot. Kind of in charge of that. Travel, off-season travel. In-season, last eyes on travel. Because, you know, when you travel as a football team, you're if something goes wrong, it's the head coach's fault. So the head coach better be the last eyes on the travel itineraries, right? And you want to travel a certain way. Well, we don't always have time to sit there and micromanage the travel itineraries. So your chief of staff, your right-hand man is going to do that. Not a ton of interaction with the players in professional football, a ton of interaction in college football, as you can tell with Cole. There's other menial things that people would think are menial tasks, but are very important. Printing of scripts.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that, you know, we print so many scripts for so many coaches for the flow of the day, making sure those are done right. The daily schedule for players, coordinating staff meetings, coordinating player meetings, scheduling player meetings. Like, there's just a lot of think of an executive assistant and an assistant coach kind of packaged into one person and a travel coordinator. But these jobs are really good in the NFL. Because typically if you do it right for the head coach, you're with that head coach forever. You don't want to lose your guy. So when he had this opportunity with the Eagles, I was like, Coley, this is one you really need to pursue. So we helped him, and we celebrated him getting this opportunity. He beat out some incredible candidates to get it. Shows his talent. We love Cole. Cole's like another son to me. His dad texts me. His mom texts me, telling me how much they appreciated our time together. And we're happy for him, but it's going to be a blow, you know, especially this late. You know, that's a hard thing. I've lost 19 staffers in 2.5 years to the Power Four of the NFL. For a 7-win head coach, you wouldn't think you'd be losing your people to the higher levels, but we are hiring a high quality person, producer, and, they're attractive to people above us. And I think that's kind of the situation we're in. Is it's like our players, you know, we're gonna recruit and develop and probably launch them to a Power Four. Your Cameron Shanks, your Amari Thomases, you know, those guys. And same thing's happening with staffers. We're bringing in good people, we're developing them, and we're losing them. That stinks for us, but it's good for them personally.
Yeah, that's great for Cole. Congratulations to Cole Peterson and his future endeavors and his future there with the Philadelphia Eagles. Spring starting up next Wednesday. We're going to have the showcase at the end of April, mm-hmm. but for spring practice, and you guys, you've been doing the spring showcase, so we haven't had the spring game. Interestingly enough, you guys were one of the trendsetters, apparently, because nobody else wants to play a spring game in college football now, mm-hmm. but for UAB, specifically your what would this be, your third spring?
Mm-hmm.
How much different does it look for Coach Dilfer knowing what you know now going into year three?
Well, I think I'm the latest. We're the latest team to do spring ball, and that was intentional with the new defensive staff. You know, you wanted the defensive staff to get – and then we hired a defensive staff and then even lost ones in the midst of that. So we wanted to give them time with their players. When you have – I think we have 20-something new defensive players. You know, you want to give them time to integrate into our culture, into our systems. So we're late. That's number one. You know, I'm going to keep it last year. So we've done two models. We've done the Saban model, which is the – that was year one, which is the 15 practices over 34 days, and you use spring break as part of that time, so really make it 43 days. And then last year we crammed it all into 3 weeks to kind of replicate what an in-season schedule looked like. That's my favorite. That'd be the way I'd prefer to do it in future years, but I didn't want to do that with the new staff because you want to give them the day in between. So we'll go back to the earlier model where we'll spread it out. We'll basically have a practice, then what we call an OTA day. It's really not an organized team activity, but they have a meeting. They have a lift. They do a little football and a lot of strength and conditioning, and then we'll be back to practice the next day. But it gives the defensive staff time to review the film, to get their players some materials at night for the next day's practice, yada, yada, yada. So it helps the install pattern a little bit better. But in terms of physicality, you know, I came in year one because I had experienced this in the NFL and I experienced it. This is how I hardened my high school teams was it was carnage. You know, like I truly set out to see who was the strongest will survive in year one. And what I learned was you're dependent on so many veterans that even though they're in college, their bodies do break down. And I was like, ooh, that's probably a mistake. So last year it was more of a, you know, pad, shell, pad, helmet, pad, toned down on some physicality. This year I'm probably going to even less physicality. There will be days that are highly physical. But I think you're kind of looking at this more like an NFL OTA, an off-season organized team activity where you want them to get better, you want there to be development, but you really are cautious of their bodies. And I think with strength conditioning, with having Lyle here is such a big piece of our possible success. We want to make sure we don't sacrifice any strength and conditioning. So it's very hard to get them stronger and be practicing at the same time. So we want to get them stronger. So we have to tailor practice around some of that. We're also short on offensive linemen. And we're banged up on the defensive line. We had some guys with offseason surgery. So we don't have a ton of bigs. So we can't do the two fields going all the time, right? So we'll do more of an NFL model with our bigs to not get them beat up. And I'm playing around with a model. I'm going to decide this week. We may even do just like passing days, you know, where it's a non-big man day. Let them go do some more individual work. Let them rest their shoulders and – believe it or not, their wrists and fingers get so gnarly because of the contact all the time. So give them a little bit of a break with the physicality and work more on the shell of the offense and defense. So not that we just want to throw the eyes out of it, but maximize the ability with the skill position players and kind of rest our bigs.
How much, because the last time we talked, the portal that had ended, and there were a lot of guys, you had seen their film, you'd seen their measurables, but you didn't really know what you were getting. You said, I really haven't seen them. Have you been able to see very much in that time since we last spoke and now?
You know, it's you don't want to get tricked by the Underwear Olympics, right? And that's really what this has been. It's been the Underwear Olympics. We're doing a lot of movements. We're doing a lot of things where you can like go, okay, I can kind of see that guy's athletic profile. But they don't have pads on yet. So I'm kind of holding off and waiting to see how they move in pads. But they're a stronger bunch for sure. Like the one thing – along with the football character that I've talked about, we really wanted a stronger player. You know, if you go back and look at the film, we've had lots of issues, but one of the issues that shows up more often than not is the strength disadvantage we've had at times. And Lyle and I have made a real point of emphasis, really starting in the beginning of last year, but we got to make sure that we're recruiting a stronger player. You can only get them so much more strong once they're here, right? So we want to recruit and you're not just recruiting high school kids anymore, right? You're recruiting a young man. So we want to make sure that their power outputs, their physical strength is better than what we've had. And this group is much, much stronger.
And we'll have plenty of time to talk throughout the spring and the early part of the summer as we lead up to the 2025 season. Uniforms.
Yeah.
Look good. Play good.
Well, I think, you know, I didn't realize this, and this is somewhat of an apology. You know, I never intentionally try to take gold out of anything.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
This is where we air stuff. So.
But I've heard the voice. You know, I think what I'm trying to say here is like I've heard the cry of the fans.
Why do you hate gold, Coach?
People really think that.
No, somebody told me that.
No, I know. So I've listened, and instead of being defensive, I'm like, well, first of all, I don't.
Hate I'm going gold. Out of my way not to wear gold around you.
So we are looking to bring back the gold helmet. We're very close to doing it. I'm excited about it. We are changing the look at times. We do love the home green helmet with the green jerseys. Our players love it.
Home green with a white blazer?
With the white blazer.
Yeah.
But we also want it to be versatile enough to where we can wear gold with that. And that takes some tweaking of the uniforms. So. Okay. We're tweaking the uniforms. We'll finalize it by the end of the week.
Will there be a retro uniform at any point?
We've thought about it. You know, there's a cost to this too. We don't have unlimited resources.
I'm going to spend your money for you, Coach.
Oregon here and have 20 different uniform combinations. So, off a limited uniform budget, we still have to be creative, but, we're going to change the Smile Mile look as well, which is the black jersey. So, that's exciting. I think the fans will like that. And, so we're looking to do something that our players love, but also the fan base, the loyal fan base loves as well, because I've heard the people's cries, and I want to respond to that.
He's a man of the people. So a lot of people that are watching now, and I've heard this too, I'm not the gold, bring back the gold. The gold. And for the record, you have nothing against gold.
I have nothing against gold. It was honestly it was a cost thing early on.
Well, there was a theory that went with it, and I can't remember. It was an outlandish
theory. Well, this other thing, too, is the gold changed. This is the number one thing. Under Armour changed their Vegas gold, which is our gold on our uniform. It did not match the helmet. So day one, not that I had anything to do when we took over the program, but one of the things I had to do was get new uniforms. And part of it was the change of the Vegas gold with Under Armour and the gold helmet. And it was at the time easier just to say, well, let's look at maybe a green helmet. And that was kind of last year's mentality. So I wish people understood, though, how much it costs to get a new helmet.
Doesn't matter, Coach.
I know.
It's your problem.
I know.
We need somebody to blame. They're going to blame you.
I wish they could write a check, too.
Well, yes. Yes. For a lot of things, right? Yes. We continue with UAB head football coach Trent Dilfer. Spring practice beginning March 26th, and then you have the April showcase coming up April 26th. But we do want to mention an event that has been a part of the UAB football program. You're going to be a part of it once again. Coming up Monday, May the 12th at Bentbrook Golf Course, you have the UAB Football Excellence Golf Tournament. It's a shotgun start, 9 a.m., and there's all kinds of team sponsorship opportunities available, and you can do that by simply going to 205-996-9969. You can call that number and they can get you set up with all the pertinent details. But that's big for you and that's big for the program.
It's massive. It's not big. It's massive.
Massive.
It is our lifeblood. It is with the changing climate of college athletics. You're always looking to create revenue platforms. It is one of our few. We try to make it a great experience. My golfing background, I was a golfer for years. We try to make it a great experience. The feedback last year is the golfers had a tremendous experience. It's competitive. It's fun. It's not super slow. You know, we go out of our way to make sure that the tournament itself is enjoyable, but please make no mistake about it. It is massively important to our program. We have to find ways where we can create resources for our program, but also not feel like we're always just asking people for money. So giving them something and giving them a great experience and a day of golf and a lot of fun is our way of doing it.
Once again, May the 12th, Bentbrook Golf Course, UAB Football Excellence Golf Tournament, 9 a.m. shotgun start, 205-996-9969 for more information. Coach, it's going to be a busy spring, but already I know very optimistic about things. And if nothing else, we get the gold back.
Yes, it's a win no matter what.
It's a win. Coach Trent Dilford, thank you.
Appreciate you.
Inferno Podcast, we continue.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts once again being joined by UAB head football coach Trent Dilfer and a guy that, Coach Dilfer, you're going to be depending on a lot this year, our student athlete of the week, and it's Sirrod Bryant.
Sirrod's going to have a huge burden on his shoulders this year. He's the only returning defensive starter, was one of the key contributors for us on defense last year in a disappointing season, but played at a very high level. Guy with great competitive temperament, high skill set, guy we really, really tried hard to retain. We were able to do so. Could be at a lot of different places, chose to come back. So his loyalty means a lot to us, and we'll build the defense around his skill set.
Sirrod, you've got already one season with the Blazers under your belt, but let's talk about prior to that. And you started your career at Georgia Tech. Of course, you're there from the state of Georgia. For folks that don't know, your brother is Big Cat Bryant, very talented at the college level, now in the professional ranks. And then Montrevious Adams, another defensive lineman that made his way in the college ranks and in the professional ranks as well. But describe your career, the transition from playing at Georgia Tech in your first couple of seasons to last season for Coach Dilfer at UAB.
Starting out at Tech, it was a bit different. You know, school there was just coming off of COVID. I would say school was like hard, I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting Tech to be that hard. But, you know, we had 10 classes, and I had, like, 5 classes. So I was taking, like, 15 hours, credit hours, I say. And, like, balancing that with football, hardest thing ever, because in high school, it wasn't that hard, I would say. So that was one thing coming from high school to Tech. And then I would also say coming to UAB, the biggest thing I would say is, like, we have online classes, so that kind of helps me out, like, be more in tune with football. So, yeah, that I would say, and also, like, the nutrition. We got a good nutrition here. Like, I can eat like I want to. You know, we got a little snack bar. And, like, at Tech when I was there, at least, like, the snacks that we like weren't there, so you feel me?
What were some of the snacks? We're not trying to hate on Georgia Tech nutrition, but what were some of the snacks?
I would say, like, the Fruit Loops. I mean, the fruit, the Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, the little, you know, the little small box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Frosted Flakes. Like, I'm not a Frosted Flakes guy.
I'm not either.
You know, we got Cinnamon Toast Crunch at UAB. You feel me? I love those. I wake up in the morning, put me some almond milk on it, and, you know, get it going.
You're in touch with your kids, right?
I had 3 daughters. Yes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, for sure. Way over Frosted Flakes.
What if they made the dust? And I don't eat, but, like, the bottom of a box of Cheez-Its. And somebody told me the other day, if they would make just the dust that comes in the bottom of the bag in the box of the cereals or different snack foods, and somebody brought up Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that they would just sprinkle that on everything that they ate.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be game for that?
I do that.
All right, so last
not year. Not sugar not on everything.
Not everything.
It's no different.
No, let's.
not everything.
We've got a wound up Sirrod Bryant. You might weigh a little bit more. What are you checking in at right now? 215, 210?
Like 210, 215, between those two.
Is that where you want to stay?
Yeah. Or probably just be like 210 or just like 208 so I can be, you know, move faster, get better with my twitch muscles and, you know, just be a more athletic.
Guy. Coach mentioned you're the only starter coming back on that side of the ball, an overhaul on that side of the ball this past season, Coach. And he's going to be a guy that you're going to be pointing to as one of your leaders.
Yeah, massive overhaul. I'm trying not to bring up last season as much as I possibly can, but obviously when you're not as successful as we like to be, we have to make changes. So part of that was natural attrition. We had a lot of seniors that moved on. Some of it was forced attrition. And with a new defensive staff, I really wanted them to come in and evaluate every position. So Coach Russ and his staff were able to evaluate the positions. And Sirrod's a guy that has such great versatility. You know, in this defensive structure, That's an NFL-based defense, four-man front, but the secondary has to do a lot of different things, so you need versatility. So Sherrod's size, his physicality, his coverability, his ability to play zone and man, and then be able to come an extra hat in the box. You know, and that's when he plays the next level, he's going to have to do those things as well. So you got to play half the field, you got to play the hole, you got to play down as a sky defender, you got to be an insert defender, you got to be a linebacker certain times and dime nickel structures. His ability to play over a tight end, a bigger slot. He's just a really versatile player. He's got great competitive temperament, like I mentioned. He's got great work ethic. He's got natural leadership skills. So like all of us, he's chasing his best. He's trying to get better. Some things he's identified he wants to get better, both mentally, emotionally, and physically. But we're all in that boat.
Yes, we are.
We're all trying to get better.
Yeah, that doesn't stop with football or any particular age. Sherrod, without going back and getting too much into last season on that side of the ball, we all were a part of an event just a couple of weeks ago, and I had a chance to kind of bend your ear and ask you about some of the changes and how it was going thus far, because spring practice, you guys kick off next Wednesday, mm-hmm. but you said that you absolutely loved it. Describe some of those changes that you've noticed at your position with your position group.
Okay, yeah. First of all, I'd like to mention Coach V's. We with Coach Cox leaving, you know, Coach Dilfer promoted Coach V's to be the safeties coach, and everything he done taught me up until this point, man, I believe in him. I believe in his scheme. I watch games that he's coached in the league, so I really trust him, and I'm ready for what is to come. And also, I would say the guys that Coach Dilfer brought in, Nigel, Denver, Jalen Cheek, you know, those just three guys, but there's many more that he brought in that will help us this season. But, yeah, those guys have a crazy work ethic, too. They do a lot of great things. As I've been watching, I'm just ready for spring ball to start so we can all put it together so I can see how guys move and stuff like that. But right now, those guys look real good.
Coach, he looks the type, obviously. Mm-hmm. You see him, and he passes the test getting off the bus. As far as different guys, different positions, that side of the ball, what did you and your staff identify was the need?
Yeah, it was difficult because, you know, this has become a money game.
Yeah.
So as I've explained, you have to kind of be the Oakland A's to a certain degree. And you had to find value. And the way you do that is you find an older guy that's kind of has a more professional mindset on the portal and what we call free agency in college football right now, where money's important, but it's not the driver. You know, and so much of this conversation is the driver is the money. And if they're motivated by money, they're going to become more what they were before they got it. And really what you want is a guy that wants to compete, that wants to chase his best, that wants to be part of something special, and then deserves some money because the pelts he has on the wall. Sherrod fits into that group. These guys we brought in fit that group. So that was number one, was their temperament, their football character, if people are looking for a term to put on it. So that was priority number one, mainly because of that. That was what we had. You know, we couldn't go get into bidding wars with guys that were, if you're looking at a board and you're stacking guys, okay, there's the five best whatever position linebackers. You know, those guys are going to be way outside your price range. Now, the good thing is when you play the long game and you really vet guys and you really are talking to the other coaches and watching tons of film and watching the systems they're in, if they fit you and doing character evals, you're like, you know, if you wait a little bit and let the money kind of clear, there's just as good a player late. They didn't maybe, I don't even know how to say it. They didn't market themselves the same way because they were looking for a fit, not a paycheck. And we really found guys that were looking for a fit. We didn't chase traits, but we fell into traits. You know, I think my first 2 years, we really chased traits. We wanted a certain height, weight, you know, and measurables were a big deal because those measurables translate to the NFL game. But what we've learned is what you're really looking for is productivity. You're looking for guys that know how to play football. They know how to make a play. They know how to play well in big moments. They know how to think clearly when the pressure's on. They know how to be good teammates. They know how to be out of series and come back in a series and play at a high level. They know how to rotate. They know how to play in goal line situations. They know how to play in two-minute situations. They understand the ebbs and flows of games. They're not an emotional roller coaster when they play. So that's kind of what we were looking for on defense. And we fell into, like I said, some we're definitely stronger. I will say this. We've got a group of guys that can throw iron around, that play with strength, that have the bodies, the structure, the bone density, the muscle density to stay healthy and play at a high level. We're maybe not as long on the defensive line and linebackers we were before, but we're super long and athletic in the back end. I mean, Sherrod at 210 is not the only big safety. We have four really big safeties. We have corners with length now. Now we have, you know, we've been playing with kind of sawed-off corners in my tenure here. Now all of our corners are 5'11 to 6'3".
Yep.
We got big, long corners with big, long arms. It fits the structure we're playing on defense. So we identified a character trait and fell into a athletic profile as well, which we're really happy about.
You know, and now with the NIL climate and what the portal is and how fans view it, how a lot of coaches view it, and rightfully so, it's gotten a black eye in the media, and some of that is deserved. But we think about those guys that have just secured the multi-million dollar deals, or maybe the rumor that this guy's holding out because he wants more money. But that's not a case across the board. You have a lot of student athletes, and whether it's Sherrod or some other guys that are at UAB or other places, and it could be a Power Four school, maybe they're on the NIL roster, or when they go down the spreadsheet, those guys are not securing the $1 million deals. I asked Sherrod what was something from a student athlete's perspective that we don't think about, because we rarely hear from the student athletes, because a lot of it is kind of cloak and dagger. And Sherrod, what you told me, just some of the personal life skills that NIL has afforded you. Go through that with some of our listeners and our viewers.
I would say, like, of course I'm able to buy more stuff, but right now I actually take into account about my NIL. Like, I actually plan and I budget my money, since I'm in financing right now for my major and stuff like that. So I try to, you know, make my money work for me, so I don't just be like a sitting duck with my money. I'm trying to actually build something. I'm trying to build generational wealth one day. So I'm just trying to continue to teach myself how to plan and budget the proper way, or the right way, so I can just be successful. And I would also say, with the NIL coming along, and I'm just getting started with it and stuff like that. But I also heard about, like, taxes being paid.
Yes.
And I've never paid taxes.
Did that this weekend. That's a whole lot of fun, isn't it?
Super fun.
For my mom, I guess. But it's not fun for me.
You know, it's interesting. I'm glad you're asking this question. More student-athletes need to be asked about this, because it's a burden. Everybody goes, oh, I want all this money. Great. Get some. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you more what you were before you got it. Everybody better listen right now. If you're a young professional and you're trying to go to Wall Street and you're a turd right now, you're going to become more of a turd when you start making that money. It money can work really well for you, and it helps convenience in life, but it also is a toxin. You know, it also can erode you from inside if you're not careful. And I think that's one of the real dangers, isn't being talked about. You're giving young people a ton of money, and they don't have the skills to deal with it. And I was one of them. You know, we were 22 years old, and they handed me a $5 million check. And I was like, that sounds great. And it's afforded our family a lot of luxuries in life. But we went through a 4 or 5 year period of time where it probably made us worse.
I wouldn't have been worth killing.
You know, it was just, it's hard to deal with it. And I think these young people need people in their lives that will definitely reward them for what they need to be rewarded for, but also educate them in the journey of learning how to deal with their finances and learning to make their money work for them. Like Sherrod said, learning how to save, learning how to give, learning restraint. I think that's one of the hardest things. I mean, you know, if you love sugar and somebody puts a bunch of Skittles and Sour Patch Kids in front of you, it's going to be hard not to put your fingers in them and put them in your mouth, right? It's the same way. Like, they need to learn how to say no to things that they can have. And that's a really hard thing for a young person to learn, which is, okay, I now have a little money in my pocket. Man, I really want those J's. But I got to say no to those J's because I got to save some money because taxes. I got to save some money because my car might break down. I got to save some money because something might happen to my apartment. I got to save money.
You got a girlfriend too, right?
Yes, I do.
So that's a big chunk.
We know how expensive they are. So like it is very difficult for these young people. And that's the thing I'm most scared of with this unrestricted two times a year free agency is we are going to unfortunately give too many young people something they're not ready to know how to deal with.
So, Ryan, not specific to the UAB locker room and what's going on as far as NIL deals, but you're in tune with other college athletes and you've been at Georgia Tech, you played in another school. How common is it for guys to talk about their deals amongst each other?
I would say it's real common. Especially one of my friends that I played with at Tech, like he'll talk to me about his NIL, like, and I'll just be looking like, man, guys getting paid stuff like this number, like I'm stunned, like probably like 20 a month, like I've never touched that much money in my life at once, so it's like, yeah.
Could you see that creating maybe envy, resentment?
Yeah, I could, because some guys probably would want a certain amount that they feel like they should have when, you know, on the other side of things, it's not the case, you know.
All right, before we get to the fun portion of this, and we're going to do a lightning round, you're going to participate.
Okay.
And it's really not football involved, so you guys are on equal footing. Maybe some of the questions generational. But what do you want UAB fans to know as spring practice is about to start? We got the showcase coming up in late April, April 26th, right, Coach?
Correct.
But what should they know particularly about that side of the ball this year?
We're going to, like Coach Rush said, we're going to be the biggest turnaround defense in the country. And that's a fact because what we got coming, what we just finna put on tape, it's finna be nothing but greatness.
Love it. Sirrod Bryant. Coach Trent Dilfer.
Makes me happy.
I know it doesn't. It makes a lot of people happy. It's time for the lightning round. We've got questions, and you just rapidly fire them. I might have a follow-up for you to explain your answer, but here we go. All right, Sirrod, we're going to start with you. I think I know this answer. Talking or texting?
Talking.
Texting.
You'd rather text. And you'd rather talk. That is so weird. That's opposite, right?
I'd rather have in person, to be honest with you. But, like, if I'm going to communicate with anybody but my family, I'd rather text.
Do you like emojis? Do you use a lot of emojis?
I love emojis. Big emoji guy.
You're big in emojis?
Big in emojis. For three daughters, I had to.
Yeah?
And when they broke, I have a great emoji story, but I'm not going to waste the rest of
it. AK's big into emojis, too, and he's got daughters, AK's so that makes sense.
Great with emojis. So yeah, when AK and I text back and forth, big emoji trail.
Favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Sunday.
Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Ooh. Atlanta.
Incline Village, Nevada.
Ooh, very specific. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Nickname your parents used to call you?
Ooh. Dooney.
Dooney? You got to explain.
I don't know. I don't know where they get it from. I don't really remember where they get it from, but yeah.
Brother got Big Crat. You got Cat. You got Dooney.
I like that. Can I call you Dooney?
Yeah, you can call me Dooney.
I like it.
Dooney.
I've never heard that. Trent or Boy.
Trent or Boy.
That's what all... Trent or Boy. Like, it was one thing. It was with all the... My dad's offensive lineman started calling me when I was the ball boy, when I was like 10, 11, 12.
Nice.
That's what's up.
Okay. I will not be calling you.
No, I don't think anybody calls me that anymore.
Anybody's going to do that. All right, would you rather...
People call me a lot of bad things, but...
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
This is a great question, by the way. I think about this all the time.
I'd like to be able to speak every language.
Really? Dogs think so bad.
You're right.
It kills me. I am not a bit... I don't spend... 8 to 10 minutes a day on Instagram is what I try to hold myself to. But easily I could go down a rabbit hole on a weekend and spend 25 minutes watching dog videos. And all I think about is, what are they thinking?
It would save a lot of... Number one, it'd save a lot of vet bills.
Yes.
What hurts?
Last night I couldn't tell if it was like a skin tag on Nala or if it was a tick.
Right.
And I could have just asked her.
Yeah.
instead of like twisting the thing and realizing it's a skin tag and be like, I gotta stop.
Well, Nolo will let you know real quick.
Nolo lets me know, yes.
If it's a tick or if it's a skin tag. But you said speak every language in the world. You seem like you're a little bit of a Casanova.
Yeah, I romantic. Like be able to go somewhere and just speak.
He is kind of a Renaissance man. You know, we were talking in the car a little bit on the way over here, and there, Sarad has some Renaissance man to him. I could see him being a world traveler after he plays in the league, got some money, like hit the European scene for 6 months. I could totally see Sarad doing that.
How long does it take you to get ready?
Like 25 to 30 minutes.
25, 30?
Really? Yeah.
That shower to walk out the door? Okay.
What takes so long?
I'll be having my clothes laid out. I'll probably, you know, when I get ready, when I first wake up, I read, like, my goals for the year.
Yep, you're telling me that.
Yeah, I read my goals for the year, then I pray, and then brush my teeth, get in the shower, jump out the shower.
So that's including your quiet time?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a different question. Okay. Well, if you're including kind of solitude, which we're trying to teach our kids to do, it's a big point of emphasis in the program, something I've base my life on. I'm up at 5, leave the house at 6:20-ish. But, you know, actually getting ready.
Yeah.
I don't have any hair. I mean, it takes like
you play it
8 minutes.
You play it because you wear very fashionable clothes, but you wear the clothes where you want everybody to think you don't care, but you do care.
That's the thing.
You do care.
That's a good
And
call.
That's why I wanted to ask, because you might not have hair, but I think that you are making sure you're put together before you walk out.
I look for slimming clothing, things that don't make me look like a pear. Yeah. 53, I still want to have some type of athletic body.
You got the frame, Coach. You got plenty of room for it. For a guy like me, I have to keep it off, or I look like a perfect circle.
I once had a teammate late in my career. I'd put on some weight in the offseason, and he started calling me Pear.
Pear.
You know, because my body started looking like a pear at 35. I said, that could never happen to me again.
That's so good. And there's plenty of follow-ups, but I know we're limited on time. Let's go to first celebrity crush.
Zendaya. Because I used to watch Shake It Up growing up
on
Disney Channel. One.
Okay.
Oh, I forget her name.
We're around the same age. You're a little bit older than me. Mine was Alyssa Milano back on Who's the Boss?
I can't remember her name. She was in a movie. Gosh, I can't remember her name. My wife and I actually were talking about this movie a while back.
Was it Blue Lagoon?
No, that was Brooke Shields.
Brooke,
right?
Shields, yeah.
That was a little before me. My parents wouldn't let me watch that.
Nicole Eggert.
No. I can't remember the movie name either. This is what my wife and I are trying to talk about.
That was just the one that I thought of. I had a lot of. But I guess that's the one I can remember, is watching that show and go, man, I would really love to go steady with her.
Walk around.
Yeah.
Well, didn't we say walk around? Wasn't that part of it? Like, walk around with you?
Well, your parents dropped you off at the meeting place, and then you just walked around.
You just walked around.
You just walked around.
Yeah. And now they call it talking, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking.
We used to go to the mall, Sarat.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal.
Did you roller skate?
Yes.
Roller skating
was big.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of y'all know how to skate?
Yeah. You don't know how to skate?
I don't.
It's not going to be real hard for you. You're kind of an elite athlete. You're going to pick up real quick.
I got an idea for something you guys can do fun during the spring.
Do a little roller skating?
Yeah. And we'll film it.
Yeah, but all our coaches, you know, anytime we try to think of anything fun, the building has 48 staffers and 10 of them. What about a twisted ankle? They're going to fall and hurt themselves. Like, you can't plan anything in a college football or NFL building without all the skeptics coming out and saying they're going to get hurt. We had a water balloon fight 2 years ago. You weren't here for the water balloon fight. It was after spring ball.
There was backlash on that?
Yes. Oh, what? Somebody's going to get their eye. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're water balloons. But it's always something like the sky is falling mentality with athletes and doing anything fun. So if I said roller skating, oh gosh.
So we're not going to.
And I can think of three coaches right now. I know exactly who they are. They're like, no, coach, you can't do that. I'm going to get hurt.
Well, we'll put you in full pads. That's fine.
Just
not sure what we're going to do.
We'll do a live goal line drill, but we won't let them roller skate.
Man, do get crazy, not goal line.
Sarad knows I like some goal line periods.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
What's an interesting food combination that other people think is weird that you like?
Sugar on my spaghetti with ranch.
What?
Sugar on my spaghetti, and then add ranch after I mix it all together. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to let that one settle. Yeah, it's your deal. It's your taste buds.
Y'all got to try it.
Sugar on the... How much sugar? Like one packet? Or are you taking a spoonful?
Probably like a spoonful or probably one or two packets.
On the spaghetti sauce? Much.
Yeah.
So red sauce, and then you're putting ranch on the top?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is taking me back to the scene in Elf where...
yeah, that is very
Elfish. Buddy is just... He's putting the syrup all over
everything,
the noodles.
Yeah.
Just give it a try.
What about you, Coach?
I like chips on sandwiches. I don't think that's uncommon, though. I thought it was weird, but then I've seen other people
do it. Give a little crunch to it?
Yeah.
A little texture?
Pretty much any sandwich, I'd like to throw some chips in there.
Well, I grew up off those, Coach.
Yeah. I started peanut butter and jelly with Doritos in the middle. Have you ever done that? That was pretty good.
Peanut butter with Doritos?
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly with Doritos.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I've got a weird combination, but I got it from my grandfather when I was young, and it's it was green beans and a little bit of mayonnaise on top. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm glad. You did not react the way that most people do, and I appreciate that.
No, it's... I don't judge people. I got a lot of weirdness. Well, and I got a lot of issues, so I'm not going to judge other people.
Okay, I don't know why I thought of this, but this is... So, Batman is to Joker... as Sarad Bryant Dooney is to
Deadpool.
Is to Deadpool.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I would say, you know how he can't die?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get tired.
Okay. Okay.
That actually means, this is the kid next to me that we will go through a brutal, I mean brutal practice where I'm tired watching them practice and then he'll stay out for 30 minutes after practice. He doesn't get tired.
Don't get tired.
He really doesn't. We're doing these morning winning edges, which are basically torture. Is that a fair way of saying it?
Yeah.
It's legal torture. And he had missed, was it your toe?
My toe, yeah, 2 weeks.
He'd missed 2 weeks. And the guys, that their first time back, like, it's really hard. You're not going to pass your first time back. And I'm like, Sarad's going to be close, but he's not going to pass. Sure, he passed. Like, he dominated, didn't get tired. The guy has incredible stamina, which is awesome.
Yes.
Have you ever heard the Gino Auriemma quote? I haven't showed you guys this one in meetings, right? The UConn women's basketball coach.
Oh, no, sir.
He has a famous speech where he talks about, you know, he's coached all the best WNBA players. And he said the one thing about great players, they don't get tired. He says there's a lot of other formulas, there's a lot of other traits, a lot of things, but the one common denominator is great players don't get tired.
So is that a natural thing, just God given? Just never gotten tired?
Yeah.
Have you watched Yaks? You know, now unfortunately his career is over. The one thing I noticed about Yaks the last 2 years, watching him pretty closely, is he's got a great skill set. He's gotten a lot better. He's going to play in the NBA for sure. But the thing that impressed me was, for as many jobs that he does for AK and that team, he never gets tired.
No.
That was the one thing. I'm like, that kid's going to play in the NBA. Now, obviously, because he's a big man that can handle the ball and has mid-range and can shoot and get to the hoop and rebound and play defense, all that stuff. But he doesn't get tired. You watch him sprint up and down the court, back and forth, back and forth. And he's not – and he's the same way.
If you can teach that to the 10 guys playing beside you on that side of the ball this season.
Yes.
We're good, right?
Just take one deep breath in. And blow it out, you should be good.
Coach, what about you?
I didn't necessarily understand the question.
All right, so Batman is the Joker, so that would be his nemesis.
Nemesis.
Who would be to you?
Oh. I don't know. I've never thought about that. Myself, I get in the way.
That was my answer.
I get in my own way more than other people. I have learned, my most successful times of life when it's me versus me.
Yep.
And that's what I'm trying to get these kids to understand. It's like, it's every day there's the battle that you wake up and it's you versus you. And if you can win that battle, you're going to be okay.
All right, Sarad Dooney Bryant, we've got practice starting next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're going to kick off the spring. One last message for the green and gold faithful.
For the UAB fans, hey, we're just ready to put on the show for you guys for spring showcase and for the season. And I hope all y'all have a great time watching us. And shoot, I'm just ready. I'm just ready for the biggest turnaround in college football, man, so y'all can believe it.
He'll be the one that never gets tired.
Love it.
Sirad, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We continue. It's the Inferno Podcast.
As UAB athletes, there's nothing we like more than the roar of the crowd.
Around here, we say we win as one.
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 And to keep cheering for the green and gold,
there's one thing we need from you.
Ask your doctor about an RSV vaccine.
And help protect everyone.
Our littlest Blazers and our most seasoned fans are most at risk from RSV.
Ask about your RSV vaccine today.
So we can all stay in the game.
And win as one.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. It is time for This Week in UAB Athletics. As always, that is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health to help protect all UAB fans. Ask your doctor about your RSV vaccine today so we can all win as one. Baseball drops 2 of 3 last weekend. Tough series. Very good Middle Tennessee squad. Coach Casey Dunn and the Blazers back at home. 3-game series to open up American Conference play hosting the South Florida Bulls Friday. 5 p.m. first pitch, Saturday at 2 p.m., and then Sunday wrapping up the series with USF at 1. Meanwhile, Coach Taylor Smart, softball, they're on UAB's campus this weekend as well. Friday, 5 p.m. first pitch, Saturday at 1 p.m., and then Sunday, first pitch slated for noon. Women's tennis on the road at North Texas. They're in Denton Friday at 2:30. Saturday, they'll take on Tulane at 10 a.m. Men's tennis is at Charlotte on Friday, and then Saturday, they travel to the state of South Carolina to take on Furman. Men's golf Friday and Saturday. They are over in the state of Georgia, Statesboro to be exact, for the Schenkel Invitational. You have the MEAC Championship in bowling as well going on. That in Raleigh, North Carolina. For a comprehensive look at everything going on with UAB Athletics, you can always go to UABsports.com for all of that information and so much more. We appreciate you joining us each and every week here on the Inferno Podcast. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. It's the Inferno. Thanks for joining us. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.